My cheeks flushed. He looked next to me to Kale.
Martin,
he said, pulling away from my brother. He walked over to the couch and Kale stuck his hand out between us. It took me longer than it should have to realize that they knew each other and that Martin was Kale's last name.
Thought you were staying in tonight.
Mendoza's honey-colored eyes were on me.
I was going to,
Kale said. Mendoza looked at me again, then back at Kale.
Right,
he said, smiling.
You two know each other?
Austin pointed between them. I sat there, observing, confused. Austin was just as surprised as I was.
Yeah, we were in basic together. And we deployed. Mendoza, this is Karina.
Kale interrupted, looked at me.
My sister,
Austin said to both boys. We met before, I don't know if you remember, I said. It shouldn't have rattled me that Kale and this guy knew each other, but it did. Military bases always seemed so small, but they were really little cities with hundreds of thousands of people. When someone said, oh, your dad's in the army, I bet he knows my cousin Jeff, he's in the army too, it didn't really work that way. So Mendoza knowing Kale and Austin, and sort of knowing me, was a coincidence, to say the least.
I do. We met a couple times.
Mendoza cocked his head to the side.
Didn't we go to the castle one night? What was that, like 2 summers ago?
I thought back to the end of summer, riding in my dad's van, which had been too full of Austin's friends. Definitely squished. We did, I told him. I forgot all about that. Brian was there too. We had just met, in fact. I didn't mention that.
Your brother in that damn castle,
he laughed, and Austin flipped him off. Kale was looking at us both like we were crazy. Have you heard about it? Dracula's castle? I asked. It sounded ridiculous out loud. He shook his head and I continued to explain. It's not really a castle, but it's this big stone tower that everyone says was haunted.
Is haunted,
Austin argued. Is haunted, I said, rolling my eyes. I had gone to Dracula's castle at least 5 times with Austin since we'd moved here. I didn't know if the story about the kid getting electrocuted at the top was really true, but the old tower had earned a reputation for being haunted by ghosts. Actual ghosts, is what everyone said. There were all kinds of stories. Anyway, so it's a tower and people drive up there at night to drink and try not to get caught, I explained to Kale.
She's acting like she's cool now, but she's always the first one to run back to the car.
Austin held up his drink to Kale and Mendoza laughing. Oh, fuck off, I shot him a look. More laughter followed. Mendoza started to taunt Austin.
Ooh, looks like sis has grown up since I saw her last, he said, picking up the bottle of dark liquor from the table. Shots, anyone?
He asked the room. Chapter 35. Everyone took a shot of warm liquor. Everyone except Kale, that was. There were shouts of, to Austin and welcome back, bro. Austin gave a mock bow to acknowledge his friends as they celebrated his return. I wasn't sure if any of them knew that he had been arrested. Looking around at these guys, well, I wasn't sure if any of them would even concern themselves with something as trivial as a night in jail. But maybe I was being hard on them. We all migrated back to the kitchen to cheers Austin's return to Fort Benning. I put my shot glass in the sink and gathered up a few more. A guy in a bright blue t-shirt that said, bottoms up, grabbed his glass back from me and went for a refill. Definitely a soldier. He was with a younger-looking guy wearing a brown Murph tee. Also a soldier. I kept forgetting just how distant I had become from life on post. Sure, I still saw soldiers at work and at the grocery store. I still smiled at them while going through the gate to the great place. But I didn't have any friends who were soldiers. Not one. Not unless you counted Stuart. She was the closest thing I had to an army friend. But even though I liked and respected her, even though I felt close to her, I couldn't really claim her as a friend. As Molly liked to remind us, clients were not our friends. I turned on the hot water and rinsed out a few shot glasses just for something to do. I was glad Austin didn't see me. He would have made some crack about my being responsible. It wouldn't have been a compliment. God, it was so weird having him back. Being at my dad's, being surrounded by all these people, No doubt about it. This was Austin's world and I was just visiting. I wasn't the same person as I was before he left, though. It felt good to remind myself of that. And Austin, as much as he gathered people around him, he latched onto them, too, which was risky in his case, because he was often the one to run, like our mother, and he often left broken hearts behind, also like her. I walked over to Kale, Austin, and Mendoza.
Another?
Mendoza asked. No way. I shook my head and held up my hand, the universal symbol for no thanks. My stomach still burned as the tequila settled inside of me. The flavor was strong. Pretty good, but so strong compared to the cheap vodka diluted with orange juice that I usually drank.
Come on, anyone?
Austin's eyes were on Kale, who was also saying no. He didn't need to put his hand up or shake his head. Apparently no is all the answer you need when it comes from a guy. Austin turned to Mendoza and refilled his glass.
He's trying to get as many shots in as possible before his wife calls for bedtime,
Austin heckled him. By the way, Mendoza smiled when my brother teased him. I could see their bond. He was a nice guy, this Mendoza. I could feel it. It was never easy to predict the people I would meet through my twin, because he never had a type. Soldiers were usually involved, but that could be more of a geographical thing. Mostly strays, mostly friendly, but every pack had a few wild cards.
Well, she did let him come out this week,
another male voice taunted. I turned around to see the guy in the bottoms-up t-shirt holding his shot glass in a way that was slightly menacing. He had a square face, tiny lips, and a bad crew cut. Mendoza laughed, but it didn't reach his eyes, not like it did when he had joked with Austin. The guy in the t-shirt snickered, pointing a Bud Light bottle at Mendoza.
How many kids you got now anyway?
This question was delivered with a straight face.
Three,
Mendoza replied, humorless now. Something shifted in the room. I could feel it. Kale stiffened next to me. Austin inched closer to the two jerks.
Three? That's it? I thought I saw you driving out of the commissary with like 10. You're not funny, Jones. Neither are you, Dabrowski. Comedy's not your thing. Now move along or get out.
Austin snapped, pointing his chin towards the door. His eyes may have been glassy, but he was fully present. He wasn't having any of their shit. The room was silent, except the obnoxious intro music to the video game that was playing on a loop in the background.
Chill, we're leaving anyway,
Bottoms Up said. No one made a sound as Jones and Dabrowski set their beers on the counter, opened the back door, and left. Mendoza and Austin stared at each other for a second. I tried not to look, but I caught a glimpse of it. Who were those guys? I asked Austin when the door shut.
They're in my new company,
Mendoza answered.
I thought they were cool, and felt bad because they're so young and just got home and don't have any family here, you know?
Quit being so fucking nice,
Austin slapped Mendoza on the back and we all laughed.
See where it gets you? Now let's have a drink and not waste any more time or tequila on those pricks.
This isn't just any tequila, my friends.
Mendoza held up the bottle.
It's an añejo, aged to perfection, smooth as butter.
He showed me the label and I nodded, reading what I could as he watched me, before moving it to Kale. Añejo or not, I knew I shouldn't drink much more. Even with my mother's tolerance for all vices, I could tell the alcohol was settling into my bloodstream. My cheeks were red, I could feel them. But Kale was less blurry somehow. You know those moments when someone just looks different to you? Like you swipe and a filter covers the picture? Everything about them becomes a little deeper in color, a little more vibrant. Kale was leaning against the counter in my dad's kitchen of all places, answering trivial questions from my brother when it happened. There was something about watching him there with Austin. The way he was standing with his back straight, his eyes a little more wild than usual. He was still the definition of composure, but there was something emanating from him in that moment. Something strong and dark. I had to see more. Chapter 36.
Where are you from?
Atlanta area. You?
Kale took a drink of his beer, and then another. I remembered that he said he was from Riverdale. Easier to say Atlanta, I supposed. I liked knowing that, as if I was in on one of his secrets. Austin crossed his arms.
all over Fort Bragg, Texas, and a couple others. You know, army brat.
Cal nodded.
Yeah, I can't imagine, man.
The doorbell rang.
Pizza? I hope so. I haven't eaten all day,
Austin said, disappearing from the kitchen. Are you hungry? I asked Cal.
Kind of. You?
I nodded. Shall we? I gestured toward the living room. He nodded, smiled at me, and tossed his beer into the trash. Do you want another one? I asked, looking into my almost empty cup and debating on a refill.
I'm good. One of us has to drive, he said.
Ah, I said, biting on my lower lip. Cale's shoulder brushed against mine. He was standing so close to me. I can stay here. His eyes widened a little. You can too. There's plenty of room. We had stopped walking, but I couldn't remember when. He was looking down at me, and I was looking up at him. I remember the curve of his lashes shading his brown eyes, the way he smelled like cinnamon. For the first time, the scent didn't remind me of anything except for him. My brain was short-circuiting, not connecting thought with my tongue. I mean, you don't have to stay here. You can use my car or an Uber, whatever. I was just suggesting because I'm obviously not driving in your car. Cale leaned toward me. I had to work hard to catch my breath.
I'll get another beer,
he told me in a whisper. He paused there, so close to my mouth that the bottom of my stomach ached. He moved away casually and grabbed for another beer. I swallowed, blinking. Did I think he was going to kiss me? I so did. This had to be why I was breathing like I had just run up a flight of stairs. I gathered myself as quickly as I could. Yeah, me too, I said, voice hoarse and audibly awkward. I pulled open the freezer door to grab some ice. The cold air felt so good against my hot face. I let it roll over me for a few seconds before I filled up my cup. Cale was waiting for me by the wall, sipping his new beer. My insides wouldn't settle. Gah, he made me feel so on edge one second, yet so calm the next. We were both quiet as we walked into the living room. There seemed to be the same number of people in the house, minus the two assholes. But the crowd felt dense now that everyone was crammed into the living room. It didn't help that my heart was pounding in its cage, no matter how hard I tried to calm myself. Austin was talking to the pizza delivery man. I watched as he handed over some cash, shoving a wad back into his pocket. As far as I knew, Austin had only been working a few hours a week at Kmart, which he supplemented by asking my dad for money here and there. My brother was never good with money. Even when he worked summer jobs, he'd spent his check the day he got it. I wasn't much better, so I wasn't judging, but where did that cash come from? It didn't make sense.
Care, grab some plates,
Austin yelled to me, passing out pizza boxes to the group. I didn't know what was going on, but my brain couldn't handle any more tonight. I just wanted to have fun, to not worry about things that I couldn't control. I had been trying that for years. Maybe tonight would be the night that I actually followed through with it. Chapter 37. Black jeans were a girl's best friend. They stood out from the usual indigo. They made your legs look longer. And that dark wash was great when you were out on a date and needed to do something about greasy pizza fingers. Not that I was on a date. Was I on a date? There was just this way that Cale was looking at me that made me wonder. The fact that he agreed to come to the party at all made me wonder. But as with everything with Cale, I couldn't be sure. We were still sitting next to each other on the couch. Cale's empty plate rested on a napkin on his lap. The plate was clean and the napkin was spotless. My plate had a splinter of hard crust on it and a bit of stray pepperoni. My white paper napkin was splotched with pizza sauce. My black jeans didn't show my greasy handprints, though. Small mercies. I wasn't neat and tidy, not like Cale, and certainly not like Estelle, the perfect housewife whose picture was hanging in a thick black frame above us. A black cloud was more like it. I couldn't see her face, but I could feel her bearing down on me. I knew that picture well. It had been taken on one of their many vacations. My dad was next to her wearing a big smile and a Florida tan. A beachfront American Gothic. Cale leaned up to grab a pizza box. Can you hand me a napkin? I asked. Another guy might have made a crack about the red sauce massacre I had going on, but he didn't say anything, just grabbed some pizza and napkins, then leaned back into the couch cushion. I could feel the heat rising off him. My imagination was playing with that. My body, too.
"Want some?"
he asked. He offered his plate, which had two thick slices glistening with cheese. I shook my head, thanking him.
"I see you have a new twin."
Austin pointed to Kale, and mostly everyone looked at him, then me. His shirt and jeans were practically identical to mine. I thought back to the photograph of my dad and Estelle, standing side by side in their matching Hawaiian shirts from Old Navy, and burned with embarrassment. Kale cracked a smile, though. A very small smile. But it was there, all right. "Ha ha," I said, rolling my eyes. "You were gone a while, so..." Laughter bounced around the room.
"Fair enough."
Austin took a bite of pepperoni pizza. Cheese slid down the slice, and he caught it with his tongue. He was so much like a teenage boy sometimes, as if he had stopped maturing after 10th grade. It was part of his draw, I guess, the innocence of him. He really did have a good soul, and it was easy to see. He was the kind of boy who would start a fire and then save you from it. I wondered if this new girl understood what she was in for, if she knew she was playing in the brush on a hot day. A pretty brunette with a smattering of freckles across her cheeks, she had deep blue, almost navy eyes. Her shirt set off her coloring, and the style of her loose peasant top resembled her hair, ruffled sleeves falling in waves down her arms, just like the ones curled into her long tresses. She was sitting on the floor by Austin's feet looking up, a flower tilted to the sun. The attraction she had to him was clear as day, the way she almost willed him to turn his face to hers, to say something, anything to her, the way her shoulders were angled toward him, pulled back to expose her long, graceful neck. She wasn't sitting cross-legged like the others on the floor. The awkward child's pose was not for her. She had folded one leg on top of the other, ankle to knee, and she was tilted sideways so that her legs formed an arrow pointing toward my brother. This girl was vulnerable and open. Calculating, too. Body language could be so obvious. Did Austin know that she was planning their first kiss? Their first date? The paper plate in his hand slipped a little, and she lifted the corner for him. He looked at her, smiling, thanking her, and then she did this pouty thing with her lips, and a flippy thing with her hair. It was impressive as hell, even to me, and I wasn't the intended target. I looked away from my brother and the girl. I'd seen this movie before. Chapter 38. "Mendoza seems nice," I said to Kale.
"Yeah, he is."
Kale looked at his friend, who was offering his special tequila to someone who had just come in. I thought I had seen the guy before. In the kitchen, maybe? I remembered his black and white checked t-shirt. From the way he reeked of cigarette smoke, it was clear that he had just been outside for a smoke break. At least this group of friends was respectful enough not to smoke inside the house, unlike some Austin had had in the past. "He's married?" I asked. Kale's forehead scrunched up a little and he nodded. "Cool." I was about out of small talk. I could have talked about the weather or the Falcons, but that would have seemed desperate. I was buzzed from the drinks and getting paranoid about Kale's silence. And while I may have been anxious, I wasn't desperate. I wasn't going to be the needy girl at a party at my dad's house of all places. Kale nodded and then, nothing. I should have been used to the barriers he put up, the distance between us, but he had let his guard down a little since coming to the party, so much so that I was beginning to forget it had even existed. But there it was, brewing next to me. And that was why I didn't like dating, or whatever this was. I knew I was being ridiculous. I mean, it had only been about 20 minutes since I'd decided to admit to myself that I was attracted to him. We had been standing side by side in the kitchen, and I could feel that heat of his. It didn't matter that we weren't touching. I could feel myself being drawn toward him. It was strong, this pull, almost animal in its intensity. I lost myself in the physical for a moment, and then my brain took over and started to dissect the reasons he wouldn't like me, or why this wouldn't work. I was such a romantic. I looked around the room, to friendly Mendoza pouring Austin and the roughly brunette a shot, to the three guys sitting on the floor, and the voices coming from the kitchen. Everyone was alive in their own way, talking, listening, drinking, laughing, playing with their phones. Everyone except the one person I really wanted to connect with. My frustration grew and grew inside my head, and by the time Austin and the girl were making out, which took less than 5 more minutes, I couldn't sit there anymore. I needed some air. I got up from the couch, and if Kale noticed, he didn't care to show it. Chapter 39. I sat down on my mom's swing, feeling the heaviness of the situation with Kale. Not for the first time, I thought of it as a mood swing. My own little joke, only it wasn't funny. I'd lost track of the number of times I'd made my way out to the porch. If I was feeling anxious and alone, if I wanted to think something through or just daydream, I'd head to the swing. I was out there a lot after my mom left. Sometimes I thought maybe she would be sitting there. And when Dad was talking about shipping Austin off to live with our porn king uncle, you'd find me on the swing. There was just something soothing about the gentle back and forth as the seat pushed into its arc and then returned. I could be close to full-on panic, but after a few minutes on the swing, my breathing would slow, and I'd feel myself calm down. Most of the time, anyway. When Brian and I were on the rocks, I planted myself out there, trying to get some perspective. But more than once, Estelle had followed me out to see how she could help. She'd give me this look that I could tell she thought was sympathetic, but I just thought was creepy. It was like she was trying to sell me something. A used car, maybe. A used stepmother was more like it. She'd say things like, "I was young once too, you know." That was my clue to say, "Oh, but you're still young and you're so pretty." But I wasn't going there. I wouldn't have given her what she wanted even if it had been true. Then she'd tell me that everything was going to be okay, that what I was going through was tough, but she understood how I was feeling. That bothered me the most. How could she possibly understand what I was feeling when she didn't know me and I didn't know myself? And there I was again, sitting on my dad's porch, not really knowing what I was feeling. I wanted to get closer to Kale, but I felt stung by his silence. I wanted to ask him to join me on the swing, but I felt too timid. I wanted, whatever it was I wanted, I wasn't getting it, so I had sulked off like a little kid. I was kicking my feet a bit and just starting to move the swing when the front door creaked open and Kale stepped out onto the porch. He leaned against the railing, watching me with glassy eyes. He looked older somehow. I wasn't sure if I liked it. The streetlight hummed as it cast a dim glow over my dad's yard. I could make out cars, trees, houses, but just the outlines. I wasn't sure if this was because it was getting dark or because I was getting buzzed. I didn't particularly care. It had been a while since I had had anything to drink other than a little wine, and I felt this hazy glow. Actually, I felt pretty damn good. Rocking gently back and forth, I was aware that my breathing was sinking to the rhythm of the swing, and that made it easier to pretend that I hadn't noticed Kale. No way was I going to be the first one to say something. I kept my mouth shut and my thoughts to myself. God, this guy was tough to figure out. Maybe it was the way he was with me, observing, non-judgmental, that was so rare. So often you could feel people sizing you up, trying to figure you out. Who are you and what do you have that I want? Not Kale. He just noticed. I liked that, but it didn't seem fair somehow. He knew a lot about me and I hardly knew anything about him. The things I did know I could count on one hand. Almost reflexively, that's what I did. 1. He was charming in that strong, silent way. 2. He had this almost magnetic draw that attracted people to him. 3. He made you want to know what he thought of you. Or was that just me? 4. He acted as if he had something really important to say. 5. There was no 5. That's how little I knew about him. Everything about Kale seemed so complex, uncomplicated at the same time. He hadn't said much to me while we were inside, other than to ask if I wanted a slice of pizza, but he had clearly followed me out. So why was he just standing there with that force field around him, shifting his weight from one foot to the other and looking at me as if words were a burden too heavy to carry? I started to say something to break the tension, but stopped myself just in time. No way was I going to make this easy on him. I'd give him a taste of his own medicine and see how he liked it. Chapter 40. Dusk was giving away to night. The sky was darkening now, filling with the most gorgeous stars. I knew everyone thought they were magical. Diamonds hung aloft in the sky and all that. But I found them sad. Stars seemed so fierce and bright. But by the time they got to us, they were dying, almost gone. And the biggest stars, they burned the fastest, as if their intense radiance was too much for them to hold on to. Damn, there I was getting sappy. I always thought of how fragile things were when I drank. I could move from beauty to despair in the blink of an eye, or the twinkle of a star. As I said, damn.
Can I sit with you?
Kale finally asked. Had he seen the shadow cross my face? I nodded yes and moved over to make some room.
This is the swing? He asked.
I nodded again. I still had a dose or two of his own medicine to give him. Not really, I was just trying to stay cool. If I was going to second-guess myself, I might as well be cool about it.
She didn't take it with her?
He asked into the night air. I jerked my head, looking at his face. What?
Wouldn't she?
He could see that he had struck a nerve, but he couldn't exactly backtrack. I blinked. He was referring to my mom, of course. For all his reserved nature, he sure liked to ask questions that packed a punch. Left? I finished for him. No, she didn't take anything. Not even us. Not even me. I didn't really feel like talking about my mom, but I was happy he asked, happy that he had remembered the swing. He was a good listener, I'd give him that. We sat with nothing but the stars between us for a while, which was fine by me. I just wanted to sit next to Kale, to know he was there. In that moment, it was enough. The peace didn't last long, though.
Oh man, you wiped out. No, hey, Austin, watch! Dude, you are crazy, I mean, what the fuck?
It was just some lame video game, but it had put Kale on high alert. It was hard not to notice how hyper-aware he was of his surroundings. I couldn't imagine how tough that must be, to never be able to relax. It must have been exhausting. He turned to say something, but was interrupted by wild shouts from inside the house.
You got him, man! Killed him with one shot! Fuck yeah! Dead as a fucking doornail, man!
I shook my head. Kale clenched his jaw. At least we agreed on something. Chapter 41.
I'm being weird, aren't I?
Kale asked, picking at his fingers. How the heck was I supposed to respond to that? Do you think you're being weird? The best way to avoid answering a question was to repeat it. I had learned that from my dad. He let out a breath.
Yeah, probably,
he said, cracking a smile. I loved the way his whole face changed when he smiled. I couldn't help but laugh. Well, I wouldn't say weird, but one minute you're ignoring me and the...
Ignoring you?
He asked, startled. Yeah, I explained. You were kind of blowing me off. He seemed genuinely surprised, almost hurt.
I wasn't trying to.
He hesitated.
It's kind of hard to adjust to being back here. It's been like a week, and it's just so... different. It's hard to explain. I don't remember it feeling this weird last time I came back.
I can't even imagine, I told him, because I couldn't.
It's the small things, like those coffee makers with the little pods, or being able to shower every day and wash my clothes in an actual machine with those little pods.
I'm guessing there aren't any Tide Pods in the army, I said. My dad always hated them, so even when he returned and could use them, he refused. He liked old-school powder, and it grossed me out.
Sometimes. Wives would send packages to their husbands, and we would all get the hookup,
he said. I wondered if anyone sent him packages but didn't ask. Besides, it was my turn to laugh now. But I didn't. If I wanted to connect with this guy, to find out who he was, then maybe I should make the first step, Stop deflecting, build a bridge, find some common ground and all that. You know, I started. My dad always came back acting like he just got home from Survivor. It was kind of a joke in our house. Not that it was funny. I was so bad at this. I was overthinking every single word that came out of my mouth.
It's fine,
he smiled, obviously amused by my ramblings. He looked at me straight on.
Honestly, Karina, it's fine. You're fine.
I kept going, more relaxed now, reassured. He would crave the weirdest things and eat Taco Bell for a week straight after coming home. Kale nodded slowly, sucking on his lips.
How many times has he gone?
4.
Wow.
Kale blew out a breath.
I'm over here complaining about 2,
he said, laughing weakly. That's a lot, though. And you're my age. I'm over here complaining about 0.
Did you ever think about joining?
I shook my head so quickly. The army? Nope. No way. Austin and I always said we wouldn't. I sounded like those creepy twins you read about in sappy books, where they make weird promises to each other. One lives in the shadows and the other has to live out their twin's legacy. I didn't want to think about which role I played in that saga.
Why not? Just not your thing?
Kale asked me. I don't know, I started. Careful, Karina, I warned myself. I didn't want to offend him, but my mouth was known for spitting out words without my brain's approval. We just agreed one day. I don't remember what even triggered it, but my dad was deep into his 3rd deployment and... I could picture the smoke as it billowed through the hallways. I smelled the fire before I saw it. And my mom made... Well, let's just say she made a mess in the living room. A charred mess. Kale looked at me, puzzled. She said it was from a glue gun, like for crafts, but it was a cigarette. She fell asleep on the couch with a lit cigarette in her hand, and had barely woken up when I came rushing down the stairs to find the room filled with smoke. It was crazy, I told him. A few people came out of the house, a few people went in. Party traffic. I stopped talking. The last guy to come out was wearing a plain white t-shirt with a red stain on the chest. I stopped my imagination from turning a pizza sauce stain into anything else. Kale kept his eyes on me the whole time. It was intense the way he looked at me. The bottom of my tummy ached and eventually, I had to break eye contact with him. Pizza stain guy walked down the steps and got into his car. I recognized him from the kitchen. He was one of Austin's quiet friends. The quiet guys always left first.
And then?
Kale encouraged. She was walking toward the door, just straightforward, headed for the door like she was going out to buy milk or some orange juice. She didn't yell for us. She didn't look for us. No, nothing. Kale cleared his throat. I gauged his expression to make sure he wasn't uncomfortable with the details. So, you know those quizzes where they ask you what you would save if your house was on fire?
Not really,
he said. I guess it's like a Facebook thing. They ask what possessions you would save if your house was burning down, and your answer is supposed to reveal your personality. If you say you'd save your wedding album, that says one thing about you. But if your choice is to save your vinyl collection, that says something else. Kale raised his eyebrows, as if he hadn't ever heard of anything so absurd. I know, right? I continued with my story. Anyway, it's so insane, but the smoke was growing, and as I rushed up the stairs to get Austin, I remember thinking, that quiz is the most ridiculous thing ever. Who would even think about possessions at a time like this? But then I was thinking about that stupid quiz, so what does that say about me?
I think it says that your mind was keeping you from panicking. I think it says that you have good instincts.
I let that sink in for a moment before continuing. So I ran up to Austin's room and shook him awake. We ran downstairs together. He was leading now, squeezing my wrist, so hard. And when we got outside to the lawn, our mother was just standing there watching the smoke. It wasn't like she had tried to set the house on fire. Nothing like that. More like she didn't even realize what was going on.
Karina.
It was like one of those old movies, you know, where the madwoman starts the fire and just gets mesmerized by it, like she just goes into a trance. I laughed a little, not wanting to be awkward. Sorry, all of my stories are over the top.
Karina.
God, I loved the way he said my name. Oh, it's... I was going to say, it's okay. That's what I always said when I told this story. Not that I told it often. But the thing was, sitting in the dark with Kale beside me, urging me on, listening, not judging. Well, I knew that it wasn't okay. It wasn't okay at all. I could have been killed. Austin could have been killed. It was so not okay. But what was not okay was usually my reality. Chapter 42.
You're a good storyteller.
That was a kind thing to say. Not, God, your mom sounds like a whack job. I was a good storyteller. I liked the sound of that. I liked the certainty with which he said it. So, yeah, I don't know what I was even talking about. I did that a lot, told long tales with lots of sidetracking and other mini-stories in between.
You not wanting to join the military?
Kale reminded me. Oh, yeah. I pulled myself together. I mean, it was basically my dad being gone so long, and coming home and then having to train so much still. He was always gone, and he was always so unhappy. My mom, too. The lifestyle basically broke her, you know? He nodded. So my brother and I promised after that fire that we wouldn't live our whole lives this way.
Makes sense,
Kale said, looking around the yard, then back to me.
Want to hear my side?
I shook my head, teasing. He smiled.
I get that. For real, I do. But to me, a black kid from Riverdale, joining the army changed the trajectory of my life. It was a thing that changed my whole family. My great-grandpa's dad was a slave, and here I am, you know? The only job I'd ever had was bagging groceries at Kroger. And now I drive a decent car, can help my mom.
He stopped abruptly. Don't stop, I urged him. That earned me a big smile.
All the shit like that. It's hard, yeah. Really fucking hard sometimes. But it's the only way I was ever going to be able to afford to go to college. Live on my own without an education.
I sat, digesting. He had extremely valid points. It was kind of crazy how his experience with the army was so opposite of mine. I get it, I told him.
There's two sides to everything, you know?
I nodded, whispering. Yeah, two sides at least. I tilted my head and asked, is your mom proud of you now?
Oh, of course. She tells everyone at church, and anyone who'll listen, that her son is a soldier. From my town, it's kind of a big deal.
He was shy now. It was beyond adorable. Local celebrity, I teased, leaning into his shoulder.
Right,
he said, smiling.
Not like Austin,
he joked as my brother yelled again. Ugh, we should go in. I have to remind him that the MPs could come at any time, and as far as I know, no one in there is of age except Mendoza. I took my phone out of my pocket and checked the time. It was almost 11:30. Not for another 30 minutes, I teased. Chapter 43. The party had quieted down. The coffee table was littered with beer bottles and plastic cups. The game controller sat idle in the front of the TV. Limp bodies covered the couch, and a few people had made themselves comfortable on the floor. It was mostly guys, and mostly army, I figured, except for the girl who earlier had been entwined with Austin. She was sitting alone on the floor now, moving slightly to the music, her shoulders doing this chill dance. Basically, she was doing that thing you do when you're all alone at a party, and you want to just say, it's fine, I'm fine, everything's fine. Do you need another drink? I asked Kale. He held up his beer, shaking the empty bottle.
Yeah, please.
We made our way out of the living room, stepping carefully over denim-clad body parts. The kitchen was empty. Estelle's attempts at what she called French country decor, a dish towel that said café, a ceramic rooster, a little metal boulangerie sign that Ailady says Estelle pronounces wrong, were visible among the litter of empty bottles and pizza boxes. Still, seeing Kale here against the backdrop of so many familiar things, feeling him next to me radiating that damn heat, the kitchen just felt so small. He seemed outsized now, larger than life, and when I scooted past him, I almost elbowed him in the ribcage. He inched further away from me, towards the fridge. Of course, I needed to get ice from the tray in the freezer. "Sorry," he said, nearly tripping over my feet to get out of my way. "It's fine," I told him, my words blending together. He made me feel so nervous. Maybe that wasn't the right word. I didn't feel tense or panicky, the things that usually come with nerves. It was just that he made me feel as if everything was so much closer to the surface, raw and more alive. When I was around him, my brain processed everything so fast, but everything felt so still, so calm in the cracks of him opening up to me. I felt bright and quick and stable and level all at once. My heart raced when I glanced over and caught him looking back at me, his long fingers toying with the necklace around his neck. Maybe it was the effect of the vodka, but as I refilled my glass, I could feel Kale's eyes on me, as if he were taking me in, head to toe. He wasn't appraising me in that skeevy way some guys had when they were so obviously checking you out. It wasn't like that at all. When Kale looked at me, it was as if he saw me, the real me, who I was, not who I was trying to be. He held my gaze for a moment, then lowered his eyes. My chest fluttered. Forget butterflies, these were blackbirds. Big, glossy blackbirds flapping their wings, making my heart take flight. I took a deep breath to calm myself down. I felt him looking at me and tried to ignore the pang at the bottom of my stomach. I put the bottle back on the counter and mixed in apple juice. Someone had cleared out the cranberry.
"What's that going to taste like?"
He was standing right behind me now. Whether he had moved or I had, I couldn't say. I saw his shadow in the metal sink and hoped like hell that he couldn't hear the wild beating in my chest. I turned slowly to face him. He was so close. "Either great or not," I shrugged. He took a half step back. My body didn't calm.
"And you're willing to take that risk?"
he asked, smiling behind his drink. I wanted to tell him that he didn't need to hide it. His smile, that was. But I really liked it when he was funny, when he teased me. But I needed a few more shots to be at that level of bold. "Yeah, I guess so." I put my nose to the glass and took a sniff. It wasn't so bad. I took a sip. It wasn't horrible. But maybe I should microwave it to pretend it was a cider.
"Good?"
he asked. "Yeah," I said. I lifted the cup between us. "Want a taste?"
"No, thanks."
He shook his head, holding up his beer. "Do you always drink beer?" I asked him.
"Yeah, mostly. Not in a while, though,"
he said, smiling and trying not to.
"Because of being gone. Of being over there,"
he clarified. "Oh, because you were gone." It took me a second to catch on, regardless of how many times we had repeated the word, gone. "Right, yes, gone over there." I was an idiot, echoing everything he said. "Wow, yeah, adjusting must be so weird." Every time he reminded me that his life was so drastically different than mine, I felt shaken. I noticed his glassy eyes again, his beautiful brown eyes. Maybe he was just as buzzed as I was. I leaned towards Kale to ask if he was drunk, to ask him if he was okay. That's when Austin barreled in with Mendoza right behind him. Way to kill the moment.
"Hey guys, it's awfully quiet in here,"
he said, clapping his hands together as if he were trying to frighten a small animal. Kale and I stepped back from each other as if by instinct.
"My man, you leaving?"
Austin asked. When Mendoza nodded, Austin continued.
"Thanks for coming. I know it's hard to get out."
"Yeah."
Mendoza turned to Austin, then Kale. I felt like something significant was going on in front of me, but I wasn't really able to decipher it.
"Next time, bring Gloria,"
Austin said, reaching for the tequila bottle. And then,
"One more before you go?"
Mendoza looked at the thick, white watch strapped to his wrist and shook his head.
"No way, man. I have to go home. Babies get hungry and Gloria's tired. The kid is keeping her up all night.
I didn't mean you.
Austin touched Mendoza's car keys on his belt loop.
But for me.
Mendoza poured a hefty amount of tequila into Austin's glass. It wasn't my responsibility to worry about my brother. This was his party, and I wasn't going to be the house mother. Not tonight. It was nice to meet you, I told Mendoza when he said bye to me.
Take care of my boy, he whispered.
Then he hugged Kale and went out the side door, leaving me to wonder what on earth he meant. Chapter 44.
Man, I love that guy. He's a grade-A fucking guy.
Austin was over-the-top cheerful, even for him. It made me a little nervous. It wasn't that I was worried about him getting into trouble. Not really. It was just hard to see him standing there swaying like that.
My sister, my beautiful twin.
Austin wrapped his arm around me. His movements were fluid, and his pale cheeks were red. He was clearly smashed.
Isn't she beautiful?
He asked Kale. I froze. I hated when Austin talked about my looks. Kale nodded yes, clearly uncomfortable.
You've really grown up, buying your own house and shit, he said, squeezing me. I mean, there you are, holding down a steady job and shit, paying bills.
And shit, I finished for him.
Exactly, he said.
Something on the bridge of his nose caught my eye. I moved toward him. Did you actually break your nose? I asked, lifting my hand to his face. He jerked away, laughing me off.
It didn't break, it just moved over a little.
Then he turned to Kale with a goofy smile plastered on his face.
Be careful with her, bro. I'm not going to be that guy who's like threatening dudes over his sister or anything like that. Nothing like that. I'm just saying. My sister, well, she flips on you and man.
He used his fingers like a knife under his throat. Kale cast his eyes downward, giving no indication of what he thought about what he'd just heard.
I'm kidding. She's a peach.
He hugged me again.
A real peachy peach of a sister, aren't you?
Oh yeah, totally smashed. The kitchen was getting busy with people now coming in to refill their drinks, as if shift change had been announced or something. It wasn't until Kale looked at me that I felt like a kid. I probably seemed so immature, borderline wrestling with my brother who was completely out of it, and shit. Right, thanks for the news bulletin, I said, maneuvering out of his arm. Your new little friend is waiting for you. She looked lonely. I nodded my head toward the living room.
Did she? She's cute, huh? She's going to school to be a nurse, he told us with pride.
Kale made a face like he was impressed, but I wasn't as drunk as Austin, and I could tell that Kale was humoring him. He mostly hid his mouth behind the dark beer bottle. You mean the little girl wants to be a nurse when she gets to be all grown up? After she's out of high school and into the big world? It was how I was with Austin, teasing him about stuff. It was just part of our twin dynamic. We didn't have that mythical thing where we could read each other's minds or feel each other's pain. Nothing weird like that. Okay, I understood him on a level that I didn't feel with most people, and I felt a closeness to him that I couldn't explain. But a lot of siblings felt that, especially when they'd gone through their parents' divorce and all the mess that came with it. But it had nothing to do with being twins. So really, my comment had nothing to do with the girl at all. It was just what we did. Like the comment he made to Kale. The comment that I swore to myself I wouldn't obsess over until later when I was alone.
She's 19, okay, and she's going to actual nursing school.
Austin lifted his plastic cup to his mouth, pouring out the last drops of whatever concoction he had been downing the whole night. I'm sure she is. I rolled my eyes at Austin. And the next Barbie will be... It took me a moment to register that everyone was looking over my shoulder to something behind me. MPs, I thought for a split second. Damn, we're busted. I turned around to face the officers, to give them some sort of excuse or attempt some type of negotiation. Only when I turned around, I saw that it wasn't the MPs at all. It was the girl in the ruffly shirt, and she had heard every word I'd said. Damn, I was the one who was busted. Chapter 45. The girl's face fell, My face fell. We stood there in silence, caught, two deer in the headlights. I had just insulted her, insinuating that not only was she in high school, but that tomorrow night my brother would be making out with someone else, which not only made my brother seem like a total douchebag, it was rude as all hell to her. Her eyes welled up with tears. Sorry, I said. I'm so sorry. It wasn't anything against you. I just meant... She looked so young when she pouted like that, her bottom lip quivering. Damn. I didn't want to give her a half-assed apology or make something up just to make her feel better. But I couldn't tell her that she really did look like she was in high school, and I sure as hell couldn't tell her that, in all likelihood, my brother really would be making out with someone else. If not tomorrow, then the day after. I stood in the doorway for a second, not facing the group, debating apologizing to her again, and thinking of how to smooth things over with Austin, too, even though he wasn't likely to be that annoyed with me. He knew my sense of humor better than anyone, and he gave as good as he got. But Austin spoke first.
Nice care, he said. Real nice.
He moved toward the girl and put a comforting arm around her.
This here is my sister Karina, he said, squeezing her shoulder. Karina, this is...
She cut him off.
You can call me Barbie,
she said through her breaking voice. The room erupted with laughter. Big, bold, side-splitting laughter. Score one for Barbie. And who could blame her? Certainly not me. I let myself exhale. Everything would have been okay if we'd stopped there. Awkward moment confronted and dealt with. Move on, folks, nothing to see here. Only Austin had to open his big mouth.
Don't worry about her, he said, throwing his chin in my direction. She's pissed. She's always pissed, he corrected.
The word sounded slippery. Mean. I opened my mouth to say something, but apparently he wasn't finished yet.
She likes to play the big sister, the only grown-up in the room. Just ignore her.
I felt slapped. Hard. I knew I had hurt the girl's feelings, and I really did feel bad about that. But I hadn't done it on purpose. It was a lame joke between a brother and sister, and it was just rotten luck and bad timing that it went awry. But what Austin said about me hurt. It really hurt. I wanted to say something in my defense, anything, but I didn't want to make a scene. If I got upset in front of everyone, it would prove Austin's point and make everyone think I was crazy, or that I was always pissed. I left the room with a growing ache in my chest. Now it was my turn to cry. Chapter 46. Shit, Austin. Since when did you think of me as always pissed? Worrying about you wasn't being pissed. Someone had to do it, and obviously you weren't too concerned with your future, since you just got out of jail, and the first thing you did was throw a party with plenty of booze and underage drinkers. On post, at Dad's house. Those were the thoughts swirling around in my head as I walked up the stairs to my old room. The air inside the house was thick and getting thicker. I had to get away. I needed a break from Austin, from the vodka, from the party. I wasn't sure if I needed a break from Kale, and for the moment, I almost forgot he was even there. For a moment. Almost. There was no way he missed the exchange. He probably thought I was being catty, that I was a bitch. It wasn't true. It really wasn't. I tried not to give other girls a hard time. We had it tough enough. Hormones, periods, underwire bras, double standards, douchey guys. We needed to stick together, not stick it to each other. I really believed that. But there was always a but, wasn't there? I just couldn't help that immediate assessment I did of other females, giving them the once over, trying to determine who they were, where they figured in our invisible hierarchy. It seemed so mean to put it like that. But it wasn't that I was comparing them to me, more like I was comparing myself to them. Ruffly shirt girl was prettier than me. She had beautiful, clear skin, slender hips, and long legs. Her hair was amazing. She dressed to flatter herself, to bring out her best features. I dressed in what was clean-ish, or what was on sale. I wasn't competing with Katie, Barbie, or whatever her name was. Okay, that was bitchy. I really wasn't. First of all, she was in a totally different league than I was, and second, her target was my brother. That was clear from the get-go. So this competition thing, this competition, it wasn't about guys. If it was, why would I compare myself to the girls on IG or on TV, like I did when Madeleine Petch looked out at me from the screen? She was flawless. Even with my ultra-high-def TV, she had the smooth skin of a porcelain doll. Not a blemish, not a spot or bump. It almost made me want to go vegan, if that's what it did for you. I thought about this sort of thing a lot. I tried to figure out where it came from, where all my insecurities came from. I really didn't care that boys looked at other girls more than they looked at me. It was just that some girls made me feel less than. I couldn't explain it, not really, but it was hard to get out of my head. And the thing was, I knew it wasn't just me. I thought about Elodie, beautiful blonde Parisian Elodie, with her pretty cheeks and doe eyes. She'd sit with a mirror in her lap, picking at her face, saying how horrible her skin was, that her eyes were uneven, and her nose was off-center. Did all women do that? This was when I missed my mom the most. It would have been nice to be able to talk to her about this sort of thing, to have someone to confide in, to have her listen without judgment. Has it always been like this? I'd ask her, and she'd tell me no, it was never this bad. Social media and selfies and the Kardashians have made everything so much worse. Or she'd say, yes, it really has always been like this. I used to compare myself to Charlie's Angels back in the day. Then she'd get out her old photo album and we'd laugh at her 80s hair. And was I kidding? That would never have happened. Chapter 47. My bedroom door was closed. Was someone inside? It wouldn't have been unheard of to find a soldier passed out on my bed, or a couple hooking up. Not Austin and Katie, though. They were still in the kitchen, probably talking about me. Katie would be over her hurt by now, and smart girl that she was, she would have turned the situation around to her advantage, used it to get closer to my brother. United against a common enemy and all that. And Austin would have known that he was onto a sure thing, so he'd likely be going on about how annoying I was, how I'd always been so uncool. He had two sides to him, one that fiercely defended me no matter what, and one that used me as a prop, as a pedestal that elevated him to cool guy status. I didn't need three guesses to know which one was down in the kitchen. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't rid myself of the habit of imagining.